Are you one of those who has committed the unpardonable sin? Hello, this is Probe. I'm Dave Thomas. Welcome. We are talking about a very big issue in the minds of some. According to the words of Jesus, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. That's Mark 3 and verses 28 and 29 are the pertinent ones. This matter of the unpardonable sin, I'm happy to have two conversation partners, Dr. Bruce Johansson, professor of New Testament, and Dr. Carl Kosart, also schooled in the New Testament. Gentlemen, we have before us today a subject that is arguably one of the most concerning. People are more worried about this than any other one as it pertains to the Holy Spirit. The words of Jesus seem very, very harsh here. And given the fact that he came to earth to save, it becomes very disturbing to hear that there is apparently a sin that cannot be forgiven, the implication being that if your sin is not forgiven, you are not saved. So what do you want to say about this unpardonable sin?
You know, when I went to high school, or academy as it was called, there were some friends of mine who made fun of the Holy Spirit. And I had a very difficult time understanding what happened when several years later they gave their hearts to the Lord and experienced conversion.
Oh, because you thought they had done the unpardonable.
Yeah, I mean, what does it mean, you know? And if I think one of the keys is again to read this passage very carefully in the context of Jesus' ministry.
In other words, do you think those words of Jesus have a particular context that if we understand the context, we understand the words better?
Yeah, and I think they can bring out a principle.
Where are you looking?
I'm looking. Well, you can go. I go either to Mark 3 or to Matthew 12. And it's in the context of his ministry of healing and conflict with the religious authorities at that time, who felt threatened by him. Matthew is, of course, by chapter 12, you've had more development. So you can see that this controversy and this threat to them has grown. By chapter 12, they're pretty much ready to do him in.
In other words,
it's come to a head.
Yeah.
And they see him as a major threat, and they would like to destroy him. And he's going around healing, doing miracles of healing, acts of gracious mercy. And these gentlemen have received actually quite a bit of evidence of the working of God's Spirit in this man. And yet they've come so far in their rejection of him that they are willing to say that the works that he's doing of mercy and goodness and healing and kindness are the work of the devil.
So they, in effect, are attributing a divine hand to the work of the devil.
Yeah. See, I think it goes even deeper than saying those words. I think those words represent an attitude of total, complete rejection. And I would even go further to say that a person can have gone that far and still come back. It's when you keep going.
Yeah.
It's the continuation.
They have no other option for salvation. What else?
No other option. They have turned their backs on the very thing that
could... Source of life.
Yeah, the source of life.
But not only that, but the source of life is now attributed to the devil himself.
That's pretty...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. That's an interesting point you make, Bruce and Carl, that what is left if you do that?
Yeah, no other options.
So what is the unpardonable sin? And I know the Bible doesn't use that phrase. We use that phrase. But you use not only attributing the things of God to the devil, but a persistence. What about the persistence?
I think persistence, if it's carried far enough, you numb your soul. We are creatures of habit. And I would say that actually, from God's side, the door is always open. But I think human beings can push themselves so far down the road where they no longer have allowed themselves to even have the capacity or the desire
Now, would you associate with that with the phrase that you read in the Bible about hardening a heart?
Hardening,
for
yeah.
Well, and I think this goes back to our talk on the Spirit, on our ability to be receptive,
yeah.
sensitive to the Spirit. And the more often we grieve the Spirit, we kind of deaden ourselves, become desensitized.
Yeah.
And so we don't recognize those things, and that leads us, we have no hope if we can't be yeah. convicted of sin.
Yeah. Mm. You know, there's another passage in the book of Hebrews 6 that a lot of people get very, very...
very difficult passage.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult passage, and it scares especially a lot of young people who maybe have lived a wild life, mm-hmm. who have given their hearts to Jesus, and then somewhere have gone off the path down okay. the road. Yes. And let me just read it, and then we'll look at it. It says, therefore, it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. And the new RSV has since, but that's an interpretation.
Okay.
Since they have, on their own account, they crucify again the Son of God and are holding him up to contempt. But you've got a participle there, and the word since is not in the Greek. You could translate just as easily as long as.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? As long as. As? Not that you have achieved a certain point, but as long
right.
as.
That's right.
An ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm. As long as.
So put that in. Put that in modern English, Bruce.
In modern English, is as long as you continue to reject the source of life, then life will not come.
Mm. So it's really in harmony with Mark chapter 2 or with chapter
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about the the sin against the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. And it mentions the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. here too. This it's a troubling passage.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah but I do think there's something, there is, it seems to me that when a person does come to faith the first time, that if that sticks, it's a brighter thing than if they throw it away and then come back.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, the first time you get married, sorry about this analogy, but the first time you get married, it has the best capacity to really hold you.
Yeah.
That if you get married 5 or 6 times, that there's not the same kind of dynamic. Yeah. That in some ways yeah. it's like scotch tape on the wall. The first time yeah. you put it on there, it holds the best.
Yeah.
So. Well, I think that's why the message here is not just to say, well, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can come back, but the danger of turning away when we know.
And keeping on
and
doing
keeping on that path.
Over and over. And over and
what
over.
Else can the Holy Spirit do to convict
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And see, this produces some interesting thoughts, because we have several instances in the Bible where God issues instructions to destroy people wholesale. The flood would be one of those examples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, in the days of Samuel or Saul, there's this other instance with, I think it's the Amalekites, or,
yeah.
I don't remember exactly. But it's almost, from what you're saying, it almost sounds like this could be a situation where people, in fact, it says that they had given themselves to evil continually.
Yeah.
And perhaps they have come to the point where they have lost the capacity to be sensitive to God anymore.
Yeah, yeah. You have Jesus' closing words in chapter 23 of Matthew. It's one of the most poignant passages, I think. It follows upon some really harsh words for the religious leaders. But when he comes to the end there, you know, he says to the to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent. How often have I desired to gather you as children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings?
But
and you were not
you
willing.
Were not,
you yeah. were not willing.
Yeah. So when we talk about this unpardonable sin, and that's probably not, but this sin against the Holy Spirit, it's not then talking so much about a state of existence that we achieve, and then once we've achieved it, it's all over.
It's all over.
It's actually an ongoing thing that amounts to a persistent refusal to allow God access to your life.
Yeah. But I think it does entail also the danger that a person can go so far they have no desire whatsoever to come back.
The loss of conscience.
And they've closed the door for themselves.
Yeah. Oh, so in other words, that's interesting, Bruce. So a persistent attributing of the things of God to the devil and resisting the leading of the Holy Spirit does have a consequence in people's lives.
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would you agree that that's a fairly difficult state or circumstance for a human being to achieve?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I even think we get even you know tokens of this when you go back to the Old Testament and look at the sanctuary. I mean, there were certain things that could not be forgiven. I mean, basically, you know, deliberate, intentional, here I am. If you're going to persist in that, then there's no other option for you. But the minute that you take that defiant hand, you know, in the air to God and place it on a lamb, well, there's forgiveness.
Yeah.
So it's that attitude again. Are you open? Yeah. Are you willing?
Yeah.
So what would you say to people who worry that they have committed the unpardonable sins?
It's a good sign.
Yes, a good sign. That's the best sign.
The Holy Spirit's working.
Yeah. Could I say something more on that passage in Hebrews? I think that when a person has really tasted the Holy Spirit, they may wonder, but it is, I think, most often they never go down that road so far.
Yeah.
And so I would rather affirm that once you are in Christ, the odds are better that you will stay in Him.
Yeah.
Even if you wander for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it does contradict the view that once saved, always saved.
Yeah. And actually, even if there are ups and downs in your life, the Holy Spirit, that doesn't automatically mean that the Holy Spirit is rejected.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
You know, I do want to come back just to that. There are a lot of people who I've met who are afraid that they have committed the unpardonable sin, and we kind of chuckled at that it's a good sign. Let's be explicit as to why it is a good sign.
It's a good sign because it shows that that concern means that there's an openness. There's an openness to respond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it was
that the Holy Spirit has not been driven off.
Yeah. The one I'd worry about is the one that doesn't even care about the issue because they become kind of cavalier to it and dead to sin. But as long as there's a sensitivity to the fact that maybe my life has some needs here, and it shows that they're open to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's convicting.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God, God is the judge of all of that.
Yes. And also, I think we should be grateful that the Holy Spirit has a long record of being extremely persistent.
Oh, yes.
That He is far more persistent than we are. That there are people who we may have given up on and thought that they had, to borrow another phrase, sinned away the day of grace.
Yeah.
But in the background, the Holy Spirit is disturbing their lives. Yeah. And at some point, gets
God works 24/7. He's the hound dog of heaven who pursues us with relentlessness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, this is encouraging that if we understand Jesus' words correctly, He's not saying that it's not like a punishment or a rejection that the Holy Spirit says, you've been bad, gone.
Yeah.
But rather, it's something that is engendered in our lives, at least by our choice to some extent. Mm-hmm. And it requires considerable persistence to come to the point where you no longer hear or respond to the Spirit of God. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. I hope that there are some people who listen whose sense of guilt and fear over this is alleviated. I appreciate your insights and your conversations. We are thankful also for our engineer, program engineer Susan Michael, who has been very faithful in taking care of business for us. And to you, our listeners, we are very grateful. If you have a chance to send us a note or an email or something, we'd like to hear from you. Thanks for listening. For Probe, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.